Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
God, we thank you for your shalom peace. God, we thank you for being the Prince of Peace. And God, I thank you that everything that we are as a church right now, especially this month, is to share that peace with each other and with our world. So we just welcome you, Prince of Peace, to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There is a fine line between a long, drawn-out sermon and a hostage situation. My dad asked me, "Do you know what I love about the book War and Peace?" "Not really," he said. "Well, it's a long story." Uh-oh, not many laughs. All right, we better warm up for today's message then. I'm excited to share this message with you because I will let you know I did not have a very peaceful week. You know, when you pray and we pray as a team and we're like, you know, this is going to be our theme for the month. What I always envisioned, at least when I was younger, was, oh, and then that theme just kind of shows itself throughout the month. Like, if it's joy, you're always joyful. And then you just get to speak from that place. Whereas, actually, sometimes it's quite the opposite. And so this week, I kept being like, why am I struggling to find my peace so much? And then God would remind me that we're doing a message series on peace. And I just kind of had to eat my words. But it's because anybody who's going to be up here to share something, they better have walked something out to be able to share it, right? And I'm excited. Pastor Caleb has a powerful sermon that he will be sharing in the next couple weeks on peace as well, and I'm sure you're walking it out too. So we'll just pray for you in that. But our series this month is called The Missing Piece. The Missing Piece. And maybe you walked in here this morning and you're missing peace in a situation, in a season of your life. Maybe you're just looking at our world and realizing it's missing peace, right? It doesn't take much right now to miss peace. And you've come to the right place because the Prince of Peace is here today to heal, save, and deliver. Amen? Hopefully I'm not going to cough. I apologize if I do. I am almost healthy again, so just bear with me. John 14:27 is our key verse. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And again, if you look at the root words, that word heart means the center of who you are, and fearful and trouble means to shrink. So don't let the center of who you are shrink back. Has anyone found themselves kind of shrinking back this moment in our world? Even showing up to pray, if you aren't careful, sometimes your prayers sound more like you're shrinking back than actually boldly approaching the throne of grace, right? And that's okay, but God is wanting to give us a peace so that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. So for review, the word for peace in the Bible is shalom, and it means hello and goodbye, right? We taught this at youth group this last week. I got to do youth group, which I don't normally do. Everybody survived, so that was good. But at the end of it, all the youth were saying shalom as their goodbye, which I thought was pretty cool. So shalom. But it means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, to be safe in mind, body, to be completed, to be friendly. And the root means to make amends, to make restitution, to restore, reward, to have health, and to have rest. Doesn't that sound like a really good greeting? I wish that, again, I said this last week, I wish our English hello meant a lot more than just hello, because we could use more than a hello in our world right now. The deeper root connected to the pictograph in original Hebrew means to break the bondage that adheres to chaos. So if you really want to know what we're talking about this month, we're talking about freedom from chaos, and that can only come from the Prince of Peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, "Christ himself has brought peace to us." And I just want to read one more thing from last week, just to review. Kingdom peace, or God's peace, is not the absence of something. It is the presence of the Prince of Peace. It is not conditional to this earth. It is eternal. It is not fake. It speaks to the wholeness we have through Christ. It is real through covenant. It is not medicated. It is inherited. Doesn't mean to reject your doctor, but we're talking about something deeper. We're talking about something spiritual. And shalom is one third of the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. It is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So the Guinness World Record for the biggest ever jigsaw puzzle, I'm trying to find some fun puzzle facts since we're talking about the missing piece, all right? So the biggest ever jigsaw puzzle was 551,232 pieces. It was 76 by 48 feet, and it took 17 hours for 1,600 Vietnamese students to complete in 2011. That's a lot. And what I find more interesting is that 2011 is a long time ago, and no one has bothered to try to break the record, right? I think they're just like, you know what? You can have it, right? No one needs that in their life. I certainly have better ways to get a headache, right? Just putting that out there. But right now, it seems like our world is trying to break that Guinness Book of World Records on the biggest puzzle, right? Pick a topic in our world, and they've got more than 551,000 pieces, trying to fit it all together, not knowing where to fit it. Someone's hiding a piece, stole a piece, whatever it is. But I am grateful that the Prince of Peace is above what's going on in this world, right? One of the youth asked a really good question last week. They said, well, don't drugs give you peace? And here I was just sitting at the table. Brian wasn't feeling well, so I filled in last minute. And I mean, I was just trying to do an art project to send to Malawi with the kids. So I was like, hey, peace is a gift. We're given a gift, right? I was like, we can do this. And then they're like, isn't drugs give you peace? And I was like, okay, I'm going to get my second cup of coffee before I answer that. But it was really powerful because it opened up this discussion of how the world can offer peace, but that kind of peace is an escapism peace, right? The peace of God is always advancing. It's not trying to escape. It's not trying to numb something out. The peace of God makes us whole. It doesn't numb, right? There is a big difference. And so that was really a powerful conversation. I'm praying that a lot of kids got freedom. The peace of God is not escapism. So today we're talking about the weapon of peace. So can you say the weapon of peace? Excuse me. All right, so we're going to open up our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to stay here for a few minutes before we go to a Bible story with Jesus in it. So if you want to open up your Bibles. This is awesome. I'm actually hearing pages turn. This is fantastic. When we introduced a QR code, I'm not trying to be some hip church. I'm honestly just trying to help you guys get, however easiest you can, the Word of God. So if you don't have your Bible, you can scan it, and a couple of my message notes are actually in there if you want to do it that way on your phone too. 4:7. All right. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This word guard means military guard. It means to protect, to be in custody. And the Strong's describes it as posting spies at a gate. Isn't that interesting? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, so it's above our ways, will post spies at the gates of your heart and your mind. Isn't that interesting? So that word guard is the same word as Paul. And when Paul used it to say that the gates at Damascus were being guarded, and it was like an active military guard. So this is not a passive peace. This is an active military guard, and they were going to capture him. So this is a real thing. And I love this because oftentimes I think we think of peace as being passive. Again, it's that escapism that the youth asked. Well, can I just escape? Well, the peace of God doesn't escape, and the peace of God isn't passive. It's always advancing because the Prince of Peace will be his name, and to his government, there will be no end, right? So there is always more peace coming. We're never going to run out on earth. The question is, are we receiving and are we walking with the Prince of Peace? Amen? So there was a kid that was part of a preschool a long time ago. I'm not breaking confidentiality because I don't even know who they are. Maybe they're here, but the preschool wasn't here. It was like 30 years ago. And my mom was running the preschool. And I guess it was an after-school program. And so she had these kids coming in, And they were all learning about God, and it was fantastic. And then it was over at St. Catherine's. And then one time, this kid kept coming in and saying they were having nightmares. My mom was starting to get really alarmed. She was like, what's going on? Is there something going on in the house? What's happening here? So she finally sits down and talks to them. Well, it turned out that they had started watching horror films, which, believe it or not, can affect your peace, right? And so this poor child was having these nightmares over and over again, but they were feeding themselves nightmares, basically, right? So the spies at the gates of their mind and heart were saying, hey, we don't have peace. Danger, danger, alert, alert, right? So when you lose your peace, it can actually be a sign that you're discerning something. Hey, maybe I need to change a habit. Maybe I need to change what I'm feeding myself, right? Sometimes it's not as much a mystery as we like to make it sound, right? What we feed ourselves does affect, right? In the physical and also the spiritual. And so guard, peace can be like the spies at the gate of your heart and your mind. If that peace starts to feel anxious or fearful, it's like, wait a minute, I might need to turn back to God. I might need to shift something I'm doing because the Prince of Peace is alerting me to a danger, right? Now, how many know if you've been through trauma, sometimes we lose our peace and it's actually not because we're in real danger, it's because we've been in danger before and we're getting triggered and it's a false danger, right? And that is why peace means wholeness. That's why we want the Prince of Peace. We don't want peace the earth can give. We want a healing, restoration peace. Who needs that in your life? Because there's nothing worse than feeling like you're in danger and you're not, right? And we get in those cycles. And we talked about that last month about the, I believe it's called the amygdala hijacking, right? The amygdala hijacking. Sounds like a movie. I'd watch it. But the amygdala hijacking, where our brain and our nervous system actually get tripped, and we end up in these cycles of dysfunction, thinking only one perspective and reacting instead of responding because peace has taken off, right? And that's why we need the Prince of Peace to be at the gate of our heart and of our mind. We don't need any kind of fake peace. I don't need something numbing me out. I need the Prince of Peace. Amen? It's deeper than anything in this world. So peace is a weapon. So it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. So this word peace is in Greek, so it's not shalom, but it's similar meaning. It means one, peace, quietness, and rest. So if God's rest is guarding your heart and mind, what does the world's busyness do to it? If God's quietness is guarding your heart and mind, what does the world's noise do to it? Are you following? Choosing to stop and rest, take a Sabbath, is actually a weapon against the world's busyness. Choosing 5 minutes of silence or just quietness with God, maybe it's to a song. If you're a busy parent, you're like, what are you talking about, right? But maybe you've like literally locked 5 locks on the bathroom door. You're listening over on this side, right? Or maybe it's in the car, and maybe that quietness actually looks like you're turning up some kids' music and you put it in the back speakers in the car, whatever it is. But finding that moment where you are just centering yourself and letting God's quietness, not our quietness, but God's quietness, actually calm our mind and our heart so that we can hear his voice, right? God's quietness is a weapon against what tries to numb you out from hearing his voice because of all the noise. Are you following this morning? So God's shalom is a weapon, but it's also part of the armor of God, right? So Ephesians 6 says, stand firm then with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So I'm wearing my boots this morning. Anyone else got boots on? Who's got boots on? There we go. All right. My boots are too small, so it's a real sacrifice I'm wearing them this morning, but it goes with the message. All right. So shoes during biblical times, they were called kalage. They're half boot, half sandal, with nail-like studs to grip the ground in battle so you could stand firm. So now do you have a little bit of a different visual when it says, stand firm then with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, right? So the peace shoes or the gospel of peace, the readiness of the gospel of peace shoes look kind of like a weapon. You're digging in, right? Who here has ever had a choice to give up your peace or to keep your peace with God? And you're like, you know what? This is going to take some effort. I'm going to have to dig in here. I'm going to have to not go back to that pattern. I'm going to have to say no to that cycle of destruction that's in my life. I'm going to have to dig in, right? Anybody with me? So that word fitted means to bind and to tie. And it's really incredible because it's connected to another word, which is over in Philippians 4. And I know I'm going all over the place, but just stay with me because it's going to come together. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Whenever we see an and, it's important to go backwards just a second, right? So we all love to preach on the peace of God, right? But if we go backwards, it's actually by thanksgiving, which again, we've already spoken about here, and petition. So everyone say petition. What's amazing is that word petition is connected to the word fitted, all right? So the word of origin for petition is means to bind and to tie. So when we actually petition God, it's like, you know what? I'm going to bind my thoughts, my needs to you. Are you kind of following? I'm going to actually bind my shoes, put on my peace shoes here. I'm going to bind my needs to you and not to myself or not to stress or worry or anxiety. Does that make sense? It's pretty powerful. There are battles that I have fought this year that would have taken me out had the restoration of God not been working on my heart and on my mind. Is anyone there with me? There are battles. I look back over 2023 as we're starting to wrap it up, which is terrifying to say out loud, and I realize there are battles that would have taken me out 5 years ago that didn't. And it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the shalom restoration of God, restoring the spikes in my shoes so that I could dig in the battle and not lose ground like I might have 5 years ago, right? Something comes against your marriage or your situation at work or your finances or whatever it is, your health. And instead of losing your mind, you dig in and you say, not this time. I'm going to keep the ground in the battle because greater is he that lives in me than he who lives in this world. And there is a peace that is greater than this world, right? The peace of God, the shalom power of God restores the spikes in our shoes so we can stand firm, fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Are you following me? So if you are having a hard time walking in that shalom, in that peace, it might be time to say, God, there is an area in my life I need to admit I am broken. I need the restoration part of your peace. I don't just need peace, but I need the deep peace, the kind that makes me stand firm. And that's how you know if the peace you have is from Jesus, because you will stand when you should be crushed. You will advance when you should shrink. And that is the fruit of peace, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? What we bind ourselves to when we have a deep personal need will determine whether we receive God's peace. Too many of us are barefoot in our workplaces, barefoot in our marriages, barefoot in our homes, right? We were picking up a mattress at someone's house 2 days ago, and she had this big sign on her door, and it said, remove your shoes, right? It's so weird when you meet people on Facebook and you go pick up stuff. Like, it's just a weird world we live in. But anyway, she was a wonderful woman, but when I got to her door, it said, remove your shoes. Unfortunately, some of us have actually put up signs. We're in situations in our life where you get to the door of the situation, it's like, take off your peace, right? Remove your shoes. And Jesus is saying, hold on, put your shoes back on and walk in. Stop taking your shoes off when I died to give you shoes to wear into that situation. Stop taking your shoes off before you walk into that battlefield, right? And so part of how we keep our shoes on is by getting the word of God in us. And at the end of this, I'm almost out of time. I think I might have to save maybe the next part for next week. But I want to talk about practically how do we keep our shoes on, all right? All right, it's official. I'm going to save the story. Pat already preached it this morning. Anyway, Pastor Pat, I was going to do a whole thing of Jesus on the waves, but we will save that because she already prophesied it. So that was handy. Jesus knew. So in any area where you feel bound to chaos, I want to give you a practical tool to use to keep your shoes on, okay? So number one, we remember who the truth is. We ask, what lie am I believing about God or myself? It says that the truth of God sets us free, right? So any area where we feel bound is an area that we are believing a lie. And we're either believing it about ourselves, about a situation, about who God is, right? I think it was Bill Vanderbush, but I'm not sure, said, you know, I always like to meet an atheist and say, well, who is the God that you don't think exists? And oftentimes, I don't think they exist either. That's not the God of the Bible, right? But oftentimes when we feel bound to chaos and we've lost our shoes, it's because we've actually started believing in a God that isn't good, that isn't full of mercy, that isn't the Father's heart in the prodigal son's story, right? And so we need to go back to the truth. And sometimes, this has been really amazing because this is a tool we use in our marriage, and it's a real tool, let me tell you. This is not a frilly tool, because when you're in the heat of a moment to stop and to say, what am I actually believing here? That will stop you in your tracks. And instead of shrinking, continuing to shrink back, you'll start to stand firm, right? So asking, what lie am I believing? Not letting your circumstance define who God is, but letting God define your circumstance. And one of the best ways to come out of this after you ask the question, am I believing a lie, is to start to magnify God's character. Listen, sometimes we get so much in patterns of chaos that we actually can't even stop ourselves, stop our mind from racing. And that's when you put that worship song on, you put that audio Bible on, and you crank the volume until who God is more magnified than the chaos around you, right? Who God is. And I'll tell you something. Brian and I love to put worship on overnight in our home, and it's a great thing to do. But this week, we started playing the audio Bible. There was like a 10-hour audio Bible. There were like scriptures on, I think it was healing, but it was just good scriptures. And it started playing, and I tell you what, the peace of God that filled our home was so powerful. Worship is incredible. It magnifies who God is, but the Word of God is incredibly powerful because you can go off and worship and go the wrong way. You need the truth of who God is through the word to guide you in worship, right? So I encourage you, if you're used to listening to worship, put some audio Bible on. You can go to YouTube and you can find, it's amazing, they've collected scriptures. Make sure it's scriptures, right? But it's good and it's powerful and it gives peace. So number two, we bind ourselves to the Prince of Peace and his truth. So find a scripture that speaks to your situation and then pray that scripture. So in a few minutes at 12 o'clock, there's going to be a time of encouragement and prayer for anyone who has an adult child that is estranged. And one of the tools that I got to work on this week was finding scriptures and promises of God for when we're worried, for when we're in the waiting season, for when we're praying for salvation. And then I took a prayer out of those scriptures. Because how many know, sometimes all you can do is speak the word of God over your situation. And if that's not all you can do, well, you might want to start getting to the place where that is all you can do. Because there is power in praying the word of God. There is power in speaking truth. Just like when Jesus spoke and the storm stopped, right? So find a scripture that speaks to your situation and pray that scripture. And then lastly, start speaking that scripture daily. Put it on your bathroom wall, or if you're in our house, we're really weird. We have literally printed scriptures and just like posted them random places, and you should see the scripture I have like on the bathroom door and on the kitchen. It's fun. You can get creative. But all I'm saying is print the word of God so you're surrounded more from the word of God than chaos. Some of us feel victim to the chaos around us. And I need you to know that the power of God through his word is stronger than any chaos. But we need to magnify. It says, oh, come and let me magnify the Lord with me, right? Come and magnify the Lord with me. There's a reason, because we are called to receive the peace so we can give it, right? So why don't you stand on your feet this morning? I was going to do a whole story with Jesus on the boat. And when he's on the boat, he says, peace, be still, right? That word be still means muzzle. When he said, peace, be still, he said, I'm going to muzzle the enemy. We're muzzling the wind. And I want you to know that the peace of God will muzzle the voice of the enemy. in your situation. When we receive the shalom peace of God, we can stand firm. We don't have to shrink back. And the voices that surround us that are chaotic will be muzzled by Jesus. And someone here today has been feeling just oppressed by voices of chaos. And you know, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but sometimes we allow voices to be in our lives that actually stir up the wind and the waves. And God is saying, I want to say, peace, be still. We need to make some, maybe it's a habit change, or maybe it's a shift at work of where you're eating lunch, or whatever it is. He wants to silence the voice of chaos in your life. So I just bless you today that in every area that you feel battered by the storms and the chaos around us, to experience the restoration shalom of Jesus. Any cycles of destruction to break in the freedom and the restoration power of the shalom of Jesus. Any bitter and broken areas to encounter the healing rest of Jesus this week. God, I thank you that you are restoring our shoes. God, for anyone here who just feels like they're on ice in the battlefield, they're getting slipped around. God, I thank you that you are restoring the studs on our boots. And I thank you that the battle is not ours, it is yours. But you are teaching us this month how to stand on your truth. So remind us, God, what lies are we believing? What is your truth in your word? And then, Father, I thank you, and this is a dangerous prayer, but I thank you that it's even going to get annoying how surrounded by truth we get this week. God, that we're going to try to slip back into that, hey, I'm not enough, or hey, I'm never able to change, or hey, whatever the lie is. And God, I thank you that you are going to release your truth and then show us in your word how to pray and how to speak that freedom and power. It's not about positive thinking. It is about receiving the power of God through your truth, God. And I thank you that you're going to surround us with that truth this week so that we can stand firm with the weapon of peace as our military guard over our minds and over our hearts and over our homes, even over this nation, God, and over our world, over Israel, God. We just speak shalom in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.